This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Peterson holding it down for the next 3 hours, and you're holding it down with a lot of hoopla. Tons happening in terms of NHL free agency. Tons happening in terms of NBA free agency. Tons happening in baseball, even though he had a few rainouts, but that means that the Thursday slate is going to be all the more grand. 18 games on the card for the Wednesday card, and you know what? That means that we are going to be getting some day baseball as well, which that's always my favorite, so we're going to be diving in on that. We've got our NFL betting guide out here at VSiN, and it is oh so glorious. So many good people put in amazing work on that, so we're going to be embracing that in hour number two and hour number three, as my Greg's random football roulette is going to be happening, as we're going to preview two more teams tonight, as I've got a 16-part series that's run. Two teams a night for 16 nights. We're on night number seven, so we will see what random.org spits out for us, and we will be breaking down some teams tonight, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got ourselves a pair of tremendous guests. I was talking about NHL free agency. Dennis Bernstein, he does great work over at the Fourth Period and SiriusXM's NHL coverage. He is going to be joining me in 30 minutes, and have to get his thoughts on what we've seen in NHL free agency. And I know that one of my producers who does a great job, Jared, was describing this to me yesterday. In terms of NHL free agency, think when the NBA had like a decade ago, a big giant boom of money, and how they had not necessarily the world's greatest free agents, but they had to spend the money. When Timofey Mozgov was getting like a whole bunch of money, and you were taking a look being like, wow, this is like a guy that's going to give you 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 fouls off the bench. Oh, he's making $10 million a year now. That's what's happening in the NHL. So we're going to be talking about that and so much more. And Scott Bonder, he does great work over at fantasyguru.com. He's going to be talking baseball with me. That's going to be happening in a little bit over an hour and 15 minutes. And we certainly do have quite a bit of MLB to be hitting, and we're going to be doing so all night long. And if you bet on some of the games here on Tuesday, you might have gotten a little bit of a washout, as the Brewers versus the New York Mets was one of them. The Reds versus the Red Sox, it got started, but that game got suspended, so unfortunately you weren't able to cash any tickets in that one. And then you also had the Tigers versus Nationals and the Padres versus Phillies games get washed out. So a little bit of a smaller card on this day, but I mean, you could probably use a little bit of a smaller card because we saw a lot that happened in the NBA. And the biggest mixer and shaker, in my opinion, the Milwaukee Bucks. Because for the Milwaukee Bucks, they have Damian Lillard go down with the injury during the postseason, and now all of a sudden they are going to be waiving him, and they bring in Miles Turner down for what? From the Indiana Pacers. They signed him to a big giant deal, and it's 4 years, $107 million. Very interesting to see what this Bucks team is going to be doing this year. And I give the Bucks credit. Like, I'm someone from the state of Wisconsin. This is not the sort of move that you see one of the Wisconsin teams making. They're actually going for it. And that's something that you can applaud. Now, is it going to be enough for them to be able to dethrone a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers out east? I really don't think so. I think that they're going to be hard-pressed to be able to do so. But at the very least, instead of having Damian Lillard on the pine all season long because he's trying to recover due to injury, you've got Miles Turner in. And for Miles Turner, I wouldn't say that I'm a stan of his by any stretch of the imagination, because he had a little bit of a rough series in the finals, and it felt like he was inconsistent, I think is the best way of putting it. Like, when Miles Turner is good, Miles Turner is good, but this guy can sometimes disappear like Casper the Friendly Ghost as well, so that's going to be an interesting dynamic with the Bucks. They obviously re-signed Bobby Portis, who was a really good sixth man for them this past season as well. And for the Bucks, I think that that overall dynamic is going to be intriguing. And right now, if you take a look at the odds that you've got in terms of them to be able to win the NBA Finals, it was over at 60-1 prior to this move. It is now at 40-1. And I do think that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be sticking around. Like, I do not think he's going to be signing with another team. I could be wrong on that, and I mean, you just never ever know when it comes to these guys in the NBA, but just having known Giannis for many, many years with regards to growing up in Wisconsin, him getting drafted while I was still in college and everything like that, it does feel like he just very much embraces the area. He feels like he sort of likes that feel of being a big fish in a small pond and everything like that, and enjoys milkshakes and stuff like that. That was hilarious way back in the day, but I do think that he actually does stick around with the Bucks. And if you were looking at his odds for the next team, I know this is only only available in a few select states. They were placing the Bucks right around about minus $5. So I do think that if you like the Milwaukee Bucks and you don't think that Giannis is going elsewhere, and if you like the Bucks and you do think that Giannis is going elsewhere, well, I don't know what to tell you there, but I do think that you probably want to be taking a look at things right now, and I think that this might be the best value that you get, because if he does indeed lock up with the Bucks, I could see them being closer to about 30 to 35 to 1, and it is a very wide open East. Again, I've talked about this last few nights. Who do you sit there and you say, all right, I'm shaking in my boots for this team? Certainly the Cleveland Cavaliers had themselves a really nice season, and like the fact that they rolled the dice on Lonzo Ball a few days ago. They trade away Isaac Okoro for Lonzo Ball. If he doesn't give you much, hey, you still have enough depth at the guard spot to where you're going to be relatively fine. If I'm not mistaken, they still have Sam Merrill on the roster, so that's going to be able to help him out. And Merrill's a relatively solid three-point shooter, so you get something there. I like the fact that DeAndre Hunter along Max Strus are able to stretch the floor, and then the big men down low, obviously rock solid along Spider Mitchell, so that overall team I feel very bullish about. But I mean, who's that team after them? Like, the odds board has the New York Knicks. We don't even know who the New York Knicks coach is going to be. Like, I know that you've got the Villanova guys. I know that you've got a really good starting five, but I'm not even bullish on their bench at this point. And the direction that they're going to go from here is going to be very intriguing, as it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly we've got a lot to talk about with regards to the NBA, but we also do want to welcome in our good friends from Charlotte. Charlotte Bettors, VSiN is now 24/7, 365 on leap years, 366 days out of the year. We're on WZGV at 7:30 a.m. and 97.5 FM with wall-to-wall odds, expert analysis, and everything that you need to make smarter bets every single day. So a big congratulations to everyone out there. And over there in Charlotte, we're glad to be on and having 24/7 access to give you guys everything that you need. So we are going to get you guys all covered there. And hey, speaking of Charlotte, I actually felt like the Hornets had one of the best off seasons as well. Like, I still go back to what they did on the draft. Con Knipple, very rock solid pick. And then they trade away Mark Williams. They get the number 29 pick, and they pick up a guy that should not have fallen as far in the draft as he should have, in Liam McNeely. Now, am I saying that the Hornets are going to win the title and that you should be placing future tickets on them? No. They are far ways away from there. But this is a team that all of a sudden, in a wide open East, where you've got teams that are obviously in take mode right now, like the Brooklyn Nets and company, could they be able to get like a 7 seed? An 8 seed? Have a 500 record? Absolutely. I do think so. And the East is very interesting as well, with the Detroit Pistons making some moves. I actually thought Chaz Lanier low-key was actually a really good draft pick for them. Felt like he should have been a guy that went in the late first round. They signed Duncan Robinson as well, so it's very clear that they have prioritized three-point shooting. You bring in Lanier, and I know that there's not a lot of people expecting a ton out of him, but you bring in Duncan Robinson as well. And all of a sudden, I do think that you're looking at a little bit of something for this team. I do think that you're going to be able to have a base that you're able to build up around. And keep in mind, they were very close in that series against the New York Knicks this past season. They had a few last-second games that just didn't go their way. So I do think that if they can just hunker down a little bit there, and they always say that in order to be able to win in the NBA, you have to lose first, and they took some relatively rough losses, but I do think that this team has a lot of upside. Cade Cunningham has proven to be a very versatile guy that's able to do a bit of everything. I think the biggest question mark is Jaden Ivey. We've seen him be a little bit banged up. We've seen him have his inconsistencies, but I mean, this is a team that's really building things up right. Now they've got quite a bit more depth, especially with Caris LeVert and company in the fold as well, so that's another team that I think is very intriguing. Like, I do think that the East is just very improperly priced right now. Like, I think that the Pistons should be much closer to the New York Knicks than what they are right now. I think that the Orlando Magic should be much closer to the New York Knicks than they are right now. And if I had to pick a second team, I probably would not be going with the Knicks right now. I don't know if I could quite give it to the Pistons. I think that that'd be a little bit too far, but there's also a lot of volatility with regards to the East as well, because there's one team out there that really has not made a move yet that I'm very curious to see what they do this offseason. That would be the Philadelphia 76ers. And the reason why is with the Philadelphia 76ers, there might be a little bit of market reaction as to what they do / do not do in the offseason, but I mean, there's one way that you can get bang for your buck if you're the 76ers, and if you're trying to bet on the 76ers. That's by having Joel Embiid stay healthy. Like, if Joel Embiid stays healthy, right now the 76ers in a lot of places are 10-1 to win the East. If he stays healthy for a full season and he's fully healthy in the playoffs, that's a big kicker, because, I mean, if he misses some regular season games, he misses some regular season games. But if they make the playoffs and he's fully healthy, that all of a sudden is a 10-1 ticket that looks like gold. If he gets injured and he's not available for the playoffs, that 10-1 all of a sudden looks like gruel. So that's going to be the big key with the 76ers, and you just never know with that. Obviously, Paul George is a little bit aged out as well, but this entire East, I do think it's just such an interesting landscape. Heck, the Toronto Raptors, they're a team that just missed the play-in last season. They're able to rise up. The Atlanta Hawks, I like what they did with bringing in Kristaps Porzingis. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a signing that they made about 24 or so hours ago. So this entire Eastern Conference, it's very, very wide open. If you're looking for the just best value out there in general, take some of these long shots. Take a shot on one of these teams. We saw what the Indiana Pacers were able to do this past season. I don't know if you're going to quite have an Indiana Pacers situation, but I could see one of these teams being able to rise up and being able to give you a whole bunch of something. And what if we do take a look at something with regards to baseball as well? We'll be talking about that a lot more on the flip side, but we do have ourselves a quartet of games that are happening right now. And if you take a shot on the Chicago White Sox right now, it's not going well for you. 5-1, the LA Dodgers in the lead in the fourth inning. And the San Francisco Giants, losers of 7 out of their last 8 games, might become 8 out of their last 9, currently trailing the Arizona Diamondbacks by a count of 6-2. That's going into the bottom of the 6th inning. Just has been really rough for some of these teams. They've been in a funk. The New York Mets have been in a funk. The New York Yankees got completely destroyed by the Toronto Blue Jays today. So we got a lot to talk about in terms of what we got here tonight in Major League Baseball, some of these slumping teams, and perhaps a few games for Wednesday. That's on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Peterson holding it down tonight, and he held it down by taking a look at the NBA to start off the show, because we saw a bunch of gigantic moves in the league. But how about if we take a look at some baseball, the main game in town if you're looking to be able to bet on some live action? And right now in Major League Baseball, you just saw another home run for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Currently, they are up by a count of now 7-2. As being able to hit that one, we're going to need to double check on the name, but man, it is not looking great right now for the San Francisco Giants, a team that I was relatively bullish on a few weeks ago. Like, they trade for Rafael Devers. You think that things are going in the right direction there, and all of a sudden they have toilet bowled. Randall Grichuk was able to hit that home run, and he's coming on strong for this team and for the Diamondbacks. Now 7-2, despite the fact that both of these teams have 5 total hits, and that's just sometimes baseball for you there, kids. And the Diamondbacks are a team that has committed an error in this game. The Giants have not, so that's been a little bit rough for the San Francisco Giants, to say the least. And that's just what is interesting about Major League Baseball, because we have got some big Giant struggles, and we've got some teams that are really rising up that you wouldn't expect. The Miami Marlins all of a sudden are winning games, ladies and gentlemen. They're 38-45, and they got the job done by a kind of 2-0 here on Tuesday, with Edward Cabrera being able to lend a really good performance. 7 scoreless, only gave up 2 hits. Now, for the Miami Marlins, I don't think that they're going to be scoring enough runs to be able to make any sort of a playoff push, but and this is where we're at in Major League Baseball right now. We've got a lot of teams that are eligible for these wildcard spots, and it's all about who's going to want to actually go for it. Like, you take a look at the National League side of things, the Miami Marlins right now have a better record than the Atlanta Braves. Like, I did not think that I would be sitting here in the month of July saying that the Miami Marlins have a better record than the Atlanta Braves, but that is indeed the case. Oh, by the way, another home run just hit for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's about 500 on the night for them. So rudely interrupt here for another home run for them. But you know what? It is just very insane what we are seeing in terms of National League playoff picture. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, assuming that they get the job done here tonight, that will put them 3 games back of that final wild card spot. And the final 2 wild card spots, by the way, you've got the Mets, who are currently that number 1 team. And We gotta talk about them in a minute, and they're almighty sly, but you've got the Brewers currently in that number two spot in the wild card, and then the Cardinals are the number three team. I don't know how good you feel about the Brewers and the Cardinals, but I think that these are two teams that could very easily slip slide away and have themselves a little bit of a rough second half of the season. For the Brewers, they're 500 on the road right now, but they're 500 on the road right now, despite the fact that they are currently leading the league in terms of runs per game away from home. 5.65 runs per game is what they're scoring away from home. It's rather insane. And if you look at run differential, the Brewers are actually one of the most rock solid teams in the league. They have a plus run differential of 56, which I don't know quite what to make out of that. They're really not generating a whole bunch of hard contact. I really don't have a ton of faith in the bullpen. It's been smoke and mirrors starters with Quinn Priester all of a sudden coming on and giving this team good production. They should be getting back Brandon Woodruff soon, but that's an intriguing team, to say the least. I talk about the New York Mets, and even though it's been rough for the Mets, like, they are still the number one wild card team, but I believe that they have now lost 11 out of 14 games. They avoided a loss here on Tuesday because you can't lose a game that you don't play. They're going to be playing a pair of games on Wednesday, so that'll be a lot of good, clean family fun. But I mean, for the Mets, I can tell you exactly why this team is regressing. It's all about the pitching. For one, they have racked up a few pitching injuries. This slide has coincided with the fact that Tyler McGill, along Kodai Senga, have went on the injury list. And what have they been replaced with? Frankie Montas, who in his minor league rehab starts had an ERA of 12. 12 is what his minor league ERA was. He had one good start that was just smoke and mirrors against the Atlanta Braves, and after that just went straight down the toilet bowl in his last start. And Paul Blackburn's never been good. Like, does anyone think, oh yes, now we've got Paul Blackburn in the rotation, now that's a championship right there? No, you absolutely do not. But here is the kicker with the New York Mets. As long as they don't, like, lose every single game up until the All-Star break, and they're not going to lose every single game up until the All-Star break, it might be a little bit of a struggle bus for them. There's no question about it. The starting pitching is leaving something to be desired right now, but Steve Cohen is going to spend money. Who he's going to get, that is a question. Like, if you're getting Sandy Alcantara, that's a move, in my opinion, for 2026. Like, I've seen enough out of Sandy Alcantara this year to realize that this is year number one coming off of major surgery. He just doesn't have it this year. Like, I think that needs to be signed, sealed, and delivered. But which of these, shall we say, struggling teams might be able to offer an arm? Do the Chicago White Sox perhaps trade someone that is relatively young, like a Shane Smith? Like, I would not think so. Like, if you're the Chicago White Sox, you've actually gotten some good solid pitching this year. Like, you're completely out of it, but you have found a few chips that you might be able to trade at the trade deadline, and they're all in the pitching staff. So yay verily there, because the offense has not been able to get going, to say the least. But I mean, those are going to be interesting guys at the trade deadline. And then in the American League, it's the exact opposite issue. Right now in the American League, you need bats. Like the Kansas City Royals, they're just not hitting the cover off the ball. I will say this, if you're looking at the game here for Tuesday between they and the Seattle Mariners, this has been an offense that's actually risen up, currently leading by a count of 5-3 going into the bottom of the sixth inning. So hooray for the Kansas City Royals for waking up a little bit. And I say this as the Texas Rangers also had themselves a really nice outburst here on Tuesday, as well as they were able to put up a 10 spot against the Baltimore Orioles. But I mean, those are two teams that horribly need offense right now. What sort of a bat are you going to get? And I think that that's a big question mark that needs to be asked, because I just don't know what's out there. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. But I know that this is out there, our NFL betting guide. It is out right now. If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is exactly what you need. We have so many people here at the network, all of us hosts, all of the analysts that contributed to this. Like, you got my full projections for the 7 teams from the AFC and the NFC that I think are going to be making the playoffs. You get in-depth previews on all 32 teams, season with total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything that you need to bet smarter all season long. Lock in our football special for just $175. That gives you everything that we do here at the network all the way through the Super Bowl, including every single betting guide, daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, and all the data and tools on VSiN.com. The early birds pricing, That expires at the end of July, so you do not want to wait. Sign up today. Get this copy of the NFL Season Betting Guide over at VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And when it comes to that American League playoff picture, as I was alluding to, you've had a few teams that have been just struggling with regards to their offense. Like, I'll even say this, the Astros, it feels like, could use maybe a bat or two with Yordan Alvarez being injured, and who knows when Yordan Alvarez is going to be coming back. That's where I think the kicker is. With the Colorado Rockies, Hunter Goodman is a really good bat, but if you're the Colorado Rockies, he needs any sort of positivity whatsoever. That's not a guy that I would think would be getting dealt at the deadline. I mean, perhaps is it one of those teams, like I mentioned, the Kansas City Royals? Is that a team that is going to be ending up dealing someone? Like, the one team that I could see perhaps trading some of these guys is the Athletics, but I mean, with the Athletics, they did something that we haven't seen the Athletics do in about an eon. They actually spent money this offseason. Like, they signed Luis Severino. They actually go out there and they re-sign Brent Rooker. They lock him up for a little bit of a long-term deal. What do you do if you're the Athletics? Is Tyler Soderstrom someone that you want to trade away to be able to get a few more pieces? Do you want to trade away someone like a Jacob Olson? I think that's the big question mark that we are going to be seeing moving forward out of the American League and just this entire playoff picture in general. Which of these teams is going to trade away one of their bats? Because there are clearly a lot of teams that need it. I'm looking at you, the American League teams. And then in the National League, what are you going to be able to get in terms of pitching? Though, I will say, on the side of the Atlanta Braves, I think that's a lost cause for them. I really do. They lost today against the LA Angels by a count of 4-0, which I still can't believe that I'm in this bizarre world where the Angels are at 500, despite the fact that they've got nobody that can get on base. They're either hitting a homer or they are not getting on base. There is no in between, but they're two games right now out of a playoff spot. And if the Seattle Mariners lose this game to the Kansas City Royals, they're currently down 5-3. They're 1.5 games back of a wild card spot. Like, this team looked dead to rights. They have absolutely no bullpen pitching whatsoever. They're starting Jack Conowitz, the Professor Kyle Hendricks, and Tyler Anderson 3 out of every 5 days, and they are currently 42-42. That tells you how wide open this playoff picture is. So if you're looking to bet some futures right now, why not take some long shots on a team to be able to make the playoffs? Why not take a shot on if you think the Boston Red Sox are going to be buyers and that the Rafael Devers trade was actually a prelude to making a bigger move? Like, why not do that? Because right now, it's anyone's guess as to who's going to be able to get the like number two and number three wildcard spots in both divisions. Because right now in the National League, it's the Brewers and the Cardinals. I don't know if either of those teams make the playoffs. Meanwhile, in the American League, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays are going to make the playoffs. I am very, very convinced in that. The Rays right now have a plus 68 run differential. They're rock solid. They're going to get the job done. But the team above them in the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm not necessarily sold on them. The Seattle Mariners, they have some relatively good offense. They have some okay pitching, but they have been inconsistent, and they have been known to have ups and downs all throughout the season as well. They have been around for like the final 3 days of the regular season with a chance to make the playoffs, have only done so once. So I'd recommend some long shots there. And how about if we take a shot and take a look at the NHL? It's Dennis Bernstein. He does great work with the fourth period and SiriusXM's NHL coverage. He's breaking down NHL free agency with me on the flip side. I'm cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Dennis Bernstein aboard. He does great work over at the fourth period. Additionally, SiriusXM's NHL coverage. And Dennis, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great to be with you on the opening day of free agency, Greg. Always a pleasure being on VSiN.
Oh, always great to be able to get you aboard. And first things first, what did you all notice in day number one of NHL free agency, where a lot of teams had a lot of money to spend and it didn't seem like they were very shy of it?
Yeah, two clear-cut winners. One kept everybody, the Florida Panthers. You know, you talk about Aaron Ekblad, Brad Marchand, and Sam Bennett, Greg. The over-under on all three guys staying in Florida a week ago is probably 1.5. Well, all three guys stayed. The sun, the sand, championships. Not state taxes, though. Not state taxes. That's not about that. But quite a haul for Bill Zito, who, despite not winning the GM of the Year award, is clearly the best GM in the business right now. In your city, It's going to be exciting. Mitchell Marner and Jack Eichel on the same line at T-Mobile in the fall. What a great partnership. Again, the Vegas Golden Knights, as aggressive as they are, they go out and get the biggest fish in the UFA pool in Mitchell Marner. Nothing but excitement. But at a cost, Greg. You know, next season, Vegas will not be as good defensively. I'm sure people heard the news about Alex Pietrangelo, whose basically career is over now. He's a great defenseman, helped them win a cup. Nick Hague was traded away to make room for Mitchell Marner. And Nick Waugh in the trade, the sign and trade, he went away. So the defensive presence for Vegas next week will be different. But certainly with Marner and Eichel, that will be very, very tough to defend. And one other team I think was a big winner was the New York Rangers. They got the best defenseman in the UFA class, which was not a deep class. Vladislav Gavrikov, $7 million a year for 7 years. A good get for the Rangers who are trying to get back to the playoffs. So those are three of the winners that I see in day one.
And what did you make out of the Edmonton Oilers, the fact that they signed Evan Bouchard to a four-year, $42 million deal? Because with the Oilers, we know that they've gotten to the title twice. They haven't been able to quite be able to pull it off. And I thought that this was a very good signing for their needs.
It was a good signing for their needs because they had to keep that guy. And, you know, when you talk about, you hear all the stuff about staying in Florida and Sunbelt. Leon Draisaitl stayed. Connor McDavid's going to stay. Evan Bouchard stayed. And last time I checked, Greg, it's still minus 10 degrees in the wintertime in Edmonton. So don't talk about the beach or all this other stuff or Sunbelt. Now, the one thing they didn't do, Greg, now they signed Andrew Mangiapane here in a two-year deal about an hour or so ago. But, Greg, they didn't address the most pressing need, goaltending. And why is that? Because as shallow as the free agent pool was, the goaltending pool for free agents was even more shallow. So Stan Bowman couldn't go out and get an improvement. Jake Allen was probably the best guy in free agency on the market, but he, like other free agents, decided to stay home, stay in New Jersey. And now it's going to, you know, if Stan Bowman's going to improve the goaltending for Edmonton, which they really need to do because you saw in games 5 and 6, it wasn't good enough against Florida, he's going to have to go through the trade market. So Oilers fans are going to have to be patient. That move probably doesn't come now, probably doesn't come late summer. It'll probably come at the trade deadline in the 25-26 season. So while Mangiapane is a good get, you had to keep Bouchard home. The goaltending situation is still a big question mark in Edmonton.
Yep, it certainly is. As joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we've got Dennis Bernstein aboard. Does great work over at the fourth period along with SiriusXM's NHL coverage, and I think that what the Rangers did was so interesting because not only did they sign a few guys, they were involved in a trade, sending away Keandre Miller to the Carolina Hurricanes, and I think that this is just so intriguing, the way that the Rangers have shaken up their roster and how they look right now after, well, let's call it what it is, a little bit of a disappointing season this past year.
Yeah, well, they hope that Mike Sullivan could come in and turn his team around. The team just didn't have any structure under Peter Laviolette, which, to be honest with you, is shocking. You know what the deal is, Greg, with coaches, and it's not just the NHL. Coaches have a shelf life, and it certainly looked like Laviolette's shelf life expired last season because the team had no structure. Adam Fox didn't have a great season. Gavrikov will play with Fox on the top line. And, you know, Condrey Miller has all the talent in the world. He's 6'5", 220. He's a prototypical second-pair defenseman. Just didn't work for him in New York this year, so he's going to get a change of scenery with a really good defensive team in Carolina. Although, with respect to Carolina, they need offense, Greg. They're trading for defensemen. They couldn't keep Marner. They couldn't get a trade for Marner. They traded away Rantanen. And so the one area of need that they still have is offense. So the Rangers are going to be interesting because you can't think all the players that underachieved last year are going to underachieve to the same extent. Now, granted, Chris Kreider is gone, but I got to think JT Miller is going to bounce back. The real key, I think, is Mika Zibanejad. You know, 2-3 years ago, Greg, he was a number one center in this league. He was a dominant player. He scored almost 40 goals, and he's really regressed over these 2 years. So the Gavrikov ad is nice. I understand why they treated Miller, but they're core guys. And the other guy you really want to talk about is Artemi Panarin. He's eligible for an extension now. He's in the last year of his deal. He's 33 years old. Will they extend him, or if things go south again this season, will they ultimately wind up trading him for a team that, you know, 2 years ago, Greg, I picked to win the Stanley Cup. So it's been a really, it's been a change of scenery for the Rangers. We'll see how good they are next season.
Yep, and this period is so interesting for some of these teams being trying to be able to rise up as well. And just how do you take a look at this year's free agency as opposed to past years? Because we both know that there's a little bit more money for these teams to be able to spend than in past years as well. And I think that the strategy that we're seeing is so fascinating in terms of teams signing a lot of guys versus the teams, like you mentioned with the Florida Panthers a little bit earlier, just keeping their own.
Yeah, I think that the concern is that, you know, you want to get these guys in early because remember, there's a new CBA coming in, right, in 26-27 season, not for the next coming season. And so what does that mean? Well, the contract's going to be shorter terms. The max you can do if you keep a player is 7 years. If there's a free agent, he's 6 years. Right now it's 8 and 7. So I think that although there's more money involved, Greg, I think you might see less players hitting free agents because you can keep players now. You know, a couple of years ago, you had to make a hard decision to keep a $6 million player. The cap's going to be close to $110 million in two seasons. You don't have to make a hard decision anymore, Greg. So as much as you might think that additional revenues and higher cap hits can get a lot more movement happening, I think the opposite might happen. I think that we might see more players staying home because you're going to pay a player $7, $8, $9 million to stay home. And it's not going to kill your cap at this point in time. The next 2 years, Greg, is going to be really interesting because we all assumed, okay, there's going to be a lot of movement. I thought there'd be a lot of movement today. And except for Marner, sign and trade, and Brock Besser, who stayed home, there wasn't a lot of movement. The big fishes stayed home, which is really interesting to see. So maybe, Greg, it's not about the money. Maybe it's about winning and lifestyle and quality of life. Maybe all these other things that are important, let's just back to Florida, that built a culture and built winning and have fun playing. Maybe that's more important to some players than actual money.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that as well, because we did see a lot of these players stay home, but there was one that really stood out to me. Mikael Granlund, he was over with the Stars this past season. He did sign a 3-year deal with the Anaheim Ducks. And could this be a little bit of a game changer for a Ducks organization that, let's call it what it is, the last few seasons, a lot of those California teams have really struggled and feels like the Ducks are trying to make some moves to be able to elevate themselves.
Yeah, well, what do they need coming in, Greg? They're set, their blue line, have a lot of young defensemen who are really, really good. They found a goaltender in Dostal. You saw they traded John Gibson, so they're set with respect to their net. They needed scoring, so what did they do? Hopefully Chris Kreider bounces back. He had a bad back last season. Hopefully he bounces back. And now Granlund's another offensive player. This team needs to score goals. I think they were 30th in scoring last season. The Granlund move makes a lot of sense for Joel Quenneville and Pat Verbeek in Anaheim. They need scoring, so I understand why they went out, paid Granlund his money, because they do need to prop up their offense if they have any designs of getting close to a playoff spot.
Yep, and I want to get you out on this. Is there any team that really didn't make a lot of moves here in day one that you're expecting a little bit more movement from them perhaps in the next few days?
Yeah, I think the only team I would say, and they're always under the radar, is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They really didn't do anything. I know a lot of their guys are signed, but I got to think that Julian Brisbois is going to pull some really slick move, either a trade or maybe a free agent signing that we didn't see. So that'd be the one team I would keep my eye on is Tampa Bay, because they always, you know, you have to answer what Florida did, right? They're right across state. They're an in-state rival. They've won the cup the last two times. You were the team that won before the Florida Panthers. So I think that the team that I would look up for, Greg, would be the Tampa Bay Lightning, because they always seem to pull off that one smart move to bolster their lineup.
Yep, no question about it. With the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers, they've really been towards the top of the league the last few seasons, and they've been able to make some great moves. And we always make a great move when you're aboard, Dennis. You do such great work covering this great game of hockey over at SiriusXM, along with the fourth period, and it is always appreciated. Thank you so much.
Greg, I always say anything for VEASAN. Great to be with you tonight.
Absolutely. Dennis doing an absolutely amazing job, and just a lot of free agency in general happening right now. Talked about it in the first segment with all the moves that we're seeing in the NBA, in the NHL. Just a very interesting circumstance because there has been a lot more of an influx of money, but unlike what we saw in the NBA, where I still remember a decade ago, it was like Timofey Mozgov was getting a whole bunch of money. Now we're seeing a lot more of these teams deciding to sign their own for a little bit of a bigger deal. He was referring to it, Dennis, was the fact that the Florida Panthers were able ink three very key contributors to their title run here in the last 24 hours. So we shall see what is going to be happening in future days in the NHL. But I can tell you what's happening on Wednesday. A whole lot of baseball. How about if we start breaking that down next? Right here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Dennis Bernstein in the last segment. Does a tremendous job looking at this great game of hockey over with SiriusXM. Coupled with that, does great work with the fourth period as well. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Lots that is going on off the ice, off the court, but a lot that is going on the field right now is in baseball. 18 games are going to be going down for Wednesday, and we still have a bow to tie around some of these games that are happening late night here on Tuesday, as right now you've got the Seattle Mariners threatening against the Kansas City Royals, trailing by a count of 5-3. That's in the bottom of the seventh inning, and Royals cannot afford to lose this game if they're really hoping to be able to make a playoff push. The Giants, well, their playoff push is right now not looking as great. They're going to need to get out of this funk. They're now down 8-2 in the bottom of the eighth inning. For the Giants, it has just been all sorts of rough for them. They have had their bullpen start to regress a little bit, and for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it's been home run derby for them as he had James McCann, Randall Grichuk, Lourdes Gurriel, and Jake McCarthy all at home runs for the team. So it's not looking so great. And Zach Gallen has had a really rough season. 10 punchouts, a lot of two runs over the course of 7 innings. And Shohei Ohtani, he's out up to 30 bombs thus far this season. 6-1, the LA Dodgers are indeed bombing the Chicago White Sox, who are 9-32 on the road this far this season, and it's about to be 9-33. Yeah, it's not been great for the Chicago White Sox, as Shane Smith, who's actually been a relatively good constant for this team, 6 runs allowed in 4 2/3 innings, so very much less than savory there. What is savory, though, is that we've got so many games to be breaking down on this MLB card for Wednesday, and got to get started right about now, because I'm going to try to get through as many of these as possible, try to get you guys some picks, get you guys some winners, and I've been talking a lot about some of these teams that have been in a little bit of funk over the last few weeks. I've yet to touch upon this team, and many of you guys know that this team is very much in a funk. 9-61, 9-62. It is the New York Yankees on the road against the Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Berríos is on the bump for the Jays, and Will Warren goes for the Yankees. Yankees are minus 120 to minus 125 favorites on the road, and total on this game is 8.5, and I just feel like this is a little bit strange with the way that the New York Yankees just have not gotten the job done when Will Warren has been on the bump. Now, if you look at the fielding independent numbers for Will Warren, there should be a lot of positivity doing for him. He's only giving up about 0.7 home runs per 9 innings, 11.5 punch outs per 9. Just has been giving up a lot of general contact for 1, and 2, he does give out quite a few walks, right around about 3.7 walks per 9 innings, and has been pretty horrendous on the road. A 5.54 ERA on the road. Still not really giving up the deep ball or anything like that, but again, a lot of general contact, just a lot of general tomfoolery with him, and I do think that he's going to be able to be a solid pitcher moving forward, but just has to learn his bearings at the MLB level. Meanwhile, for Jose Berríos, this has always been a man that has been a whole heck of a lot better at home rather than on the road. I have been isolating his home and road splits for about 500 million billion years, and it's so true. With Jose Berríos, you look at his entire career, and this is a decade's worth of data. 3.53 ERA at home, giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. On the road, 4.52 career ERA, getting a strikeout less per 9 innings when he's on the road, and initially, he's giving up closer about 1.5 home runs per 9 innings, so that's a big giant split right there. And when it comes to this Blue Jays team, they've really been able to get it going with their offense. They are still a bottom nine team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at bat basis, but got the likes of Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr., George Springer, all give you at least 11 home runs. They're all doing a solid job in terms of moving the line, finding a way on base, so that's been massive for them, especially Vlad Guerrero Jr. continue to give you about a 380 or so with regards to that on base. And then additionally, you've got guys that they just find a way to be able to get on. Alejandro Kirk, along with Ernie Clement, have been hitting right around about a 300. You've been able to get good production out of some of these mix and match guys like a Miles Straw, Addison Barger. They've been able to step up, and you're just not getting that out of the New York Yankees. Like, I recognize that it's just past the month of June. This is now July 1st, but if you look at these guys in the month of June, guys not named Aaron Judge really started to regress, and Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm was actually very good in the month of June. He came off the injured list, hit above a 300, was able to give you some nice rock solid bombs, but and a lot of the constants that this team was relying upon for their offense just started to dry up, and you have to wonder if it's a combination of age, maybe they're all playing above their skis or something like that. But I mean, the main guy that I look at is Paul Goldschmidt. down with regards to his power numbers at this time in his career, but I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, he's been able to do a nice job of being able to move the line and get on base. In the month of June, his on-base percentage was a .226. That is not going to cut it. And then you had Austin Wells, .274 on base. Ben Rice, .289 on base. And this is specifically in the month of June. But, I mean, these guys really struggled. You've had Giancarlo Stanton come off the injury list. Well, he's been okay at being able to get on base. He hasn't really been able to give you any sort of pop whatsoever. So that's a big issue for this team. And then you got a Yankees bullpen that has honestly been relatively solid. I like what I'm seeing out of Yuri De Los Santos. I recognize that Luke Weaver gave up the home run here on Tuesday. But, I mean, those two guys, you're able to throw in there something like a Tim Hill. These guys giving you a sub-3.5. ERA, but for the Toronto Blue Jays, these long guys like a Yariel Rodriguez, Braden Fisher and company have been able to step up, hold down the fort. They're now in the top half of the big leagues in terms of their bullpen ERA. And for Barrios, I just flat out think that he goes out there and gets the job done. I do like the Blue Jays at home on the money line. It was Canada Day, and oh, Canada, they saw a bunch of runs, and this is a total where at an 8.5, I'd be willing to take a shot on the over as well. Does feel like the Yankees starting to be able to bust out that swoon a little bit more. They have scored at least 4 runs at each other last 3 games, so feeling a little bit better there, in on the over, and I'm going to be in on that money line as well. And something else that we're in on here on Cashing Out on Visa and the Sports Betting Network is the fact that we've got ourselves football season coming up. And if you're looking for a proxy, there's no better place to go than Winner's Circle Proxy, because they are able to get you in on all the biggest football contests. One trip to Las Vegas signs you up for all of them. Trusted by hundreds and thousands of players over the last 9 years, Winner's Circle Proxy has helped clients win over $9.3 million over the last few years. Learn more about utilizing a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. That is winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. As it is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And this is a game that's going on right now. The LA Dodgers, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, they're pounding the tar of the Chicago White Sox 6-1. That game is in the sixth inning, but how about if we do turn it forward to what we are all going to be getting on Wednesday? And for the White Sox, assuming they don't return and they don't come back in this game, that'll put them at 9-33 this year on the road, and I think that it becomes 9-34 on Wednesday. This is 979-980 on the card with Clayton Kershaw going for the Dodgers, and Sean Burke is on the bump for the White Sox. White Sox are about a +260 to a +270 dog, and you're going to be playing right around about -320 with the LA Dodgers. The total on this game is 9, and if you're looking to lay the run line with the Dodgers, it's starting to get steep. -155 to -160. I'd be willing to still go up to a -160. I was able to get in on a -150 a little bit before. I know that you're really pulling errors here, but I'm with the Chicago White Sox team, powerless on offense on the road. Less than 3 runs per game. Andrew Benintendi, along with Miguel Vargas, have been able to give you 10 home runs this far this season, but I mean, they're about as offensive as Ned Flanders right now. You've got nobody that's moving the line for the team. Luis Robert was out of the lineup tonight, but I mean, he's been about as useful as a poopy-flavored lollipop. Luis Robert, for the second straight year, is like hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. I recognize he's giving you stolen bases, but sometimes I have this theory with bad teams. Sometimes when you have a good player on a bad team, the stink just seeps into him. I think that the stink is just seeping into Luis Robert right now, because it has been 2 years of absolute awful play from him. So that's been rough, to say the least. You've got Mike Tauchman, who's been able to move the line for you a little bit, and you've been able to get a little bit of something out of the backup catcher in Edgar Quiero. Really, the entire catcher spot has actually not been bad for this team, but and it's a bullpen that now has Jordan Leisure posting up well north of a 4 ERA. So a mix and match there. They might be sending Mike Fasil back for a little bit of a long roll. That'll help him out. But for Sean Burke, north of 4 walks per 9 innings, fewer than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up north of 1.3 bombs per 9. His fielding independent is right around a 5. And for Clayton Kershaw, he's at an advanced age. He's getting fewer than 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. 3.03 ERA. He got bombed in his first start when he came off the injury list to face off against the Angels. Since then, a sub-3 ERA. Now, this is a LA Dodgers team that is not necessarily amazing with their bullpen pitching. Anthony Banda and the likes of that have not been incredible, but Jack Dreyer is a long guy. He's giving you a sub-3.35 ERA. You need to get a little bit more out of Tanner Scott, and it does feel like he's starting to round into form after a rough start to the season for him as well. But I do think that for the LA Dodgers, just having this best star lineup is going to be able to take it to Sean Burke. Shohei Ohtani's up to 30 home runs. You've got Teoscar Hernandez, Andy Páez, a combined 30 home runs. Mookie Betts isn't even having a good year right now. He has yet to reach a 10 home run plateau. He's been giving you only about a 335 on base. You know that he's not going to be staying down for long. Will Smith is getting jiggy with it with a 400 on base. So you've got a Dodgers team that's really rocking and rolling right now, and a White Sox team that, again, they are currently 9-32 on the road. They're going to be 9-33 after tonight when they lose the LA Dodgers, and that's going to become 9-34. Not a lot of these losses have been by one run because they're not generating a lot of offense. So as a result, with regards to this nine, I'm going to be looking at the under. That's a little bit of a less chalky play, to say the least. And if you're willing to lay the minus 150, minus 155 on the Dodgers run line, I would say do it because I do think that they get the job done. And we're going to look to get the job done next by taking a look at what we've seen in NBA free agency thus far and some Major League Baseball. I'm Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.